I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast where we break down politics, government structure, and dive into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about the U.S. territories.
So get out your treaties.
And let's get civical. Welcome back. We've missed you. What's new?
What's new with you?
OMG, no way. No way. That's crazy. You know, something similar happened to me too. It was just the wildest thing. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
This is an actual call and response. I love that. So before we get started on this episode, we have to do like a huge like moment of self-reflection and correction, because we made a mistake.
More specifically,
Arden made a mistake. I did not even know that this existed, and you did. So I couldn't even make the mistake, but you know I would have. So we very incorrectly and horrendously said that the vice chairman of the Republican conference in the Senate, Joni Ernst, wrestled pigs in her campaign act, her campaign ad. And the reality of it is she talks about castrating pigs in her campaign ad, which, you know, it's an easy mistake to make.
Listen, in my head, I was like, I know it's Joni Ernst. I know it has something to do with pigs.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was trying to give her like the benefit of the doubt
that
of, like,
she was wanted to wrestle
a pig. That to me is like something you might do in a state that has pigs.
Totally.
I've never wrestled one, but it seems like
That's
a thing that could be a pastime.
Yeah.
No, no. She was bragging about castrating pigs, which like is a job.
The literal, the quote was, "I'm Joni Ernst and I grew up castrating pigs." No, sorry. Castrating hogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it is. Castrating hogs.
Castrating hogs. But then it takes this giant leap
mm-hmm.
where she basically says, so we're going to do the same thing in Congress, which is like, we're going to castrate.
We're going to castrate hogs in Congress.
Like, it just felt very, yeah. it was a shocking ad.
It's a shocking ad. It's up on our Instagram at Let's Get Civical. Literally right now, you have to watch it because the final line of her campaign ad is quite literally, and I quote, "Let's make them squeal."
That I forgot. I had forgotten about
Let's
that last
make them squeal.
Let's make them squeal.
I'm absolutely afraid of Joni Ernst.
I feel like she's directly threatening the people of the other party. Like,
I'm going to castrate you.
I'm going to castrate you.
Yes.
And I'm going to make you squeal. Like,
It's very aggressive. But again, we had to own up to this mistake yeah. because it was egregious and we are so sorry.
I am so sorry that I spoke out of
turn. You did not do Joni justice.
No.
Hashtag justice for Joni. She is castrating, not wrestling pigs.
Right.
Mm.
I love you so much.
Yes. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
Today, we're talking about U.S. territories.
Yes, honey.
Uh-oh. It's going to be confusing.
It's going to be confusing. I fully, when you were like, listen, somebody called me.
Yes.
And said we should do an episode on the U.S. territories. And I was like, oh, for sure.
For
like,
sure.
That's going to be like, that'll be easy.
And it was
it
not.
It was not easy.
It was not.
This shit is mess.
It's an absolute mess. And as Arden said, guys, somebody did call me. It was the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me. Shout out to Andrew, who I know is listening.
Yes, Andrew.
He called me and was like, hey, I just don't know anything about the U.S. territories, and they seem to be a big thing.
Right.
You know, everything that's going on in Puerto Rico, and everybody just, I feel like no one knows
right.
what to do with the U.S. territories, no. including
the United States.
The United States.
Right.
So he asked if we could do an episode about it, and I said, absolutely, 100% yes.
Yes.
And now here we are looking at the mess.
Looking at the mess. And I think this might be like our longest ever note section.
So many notes.
Because it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like an Alice in Wonderland straight up rabbit hole.
Call me Mad Hatter because I'm mad.
It's a mess. So we're going to define a few terms.
Because we absolutely must.
Because we must.
We're not going to be able to get through this. And by we, I mean I am not going to be able to get through this without some definitions.
Right. So the word Commonwealth appears a little bit. It is a traditional English term for a political community founded for the common good.
It is also wow. what I call my bedroom. Please step into the Commonwealth. Every time I bring a gentleman home, would you like to retire to the Commonwealth? So it can be used in different ways.
In different ways.
But it all means the same thing. Right. It's a political community founded for the common good.
Particularly in the United States, we have four. There are four states that are commonwealths.
That's what? That's literally insane.
It's crazy to me.
Would they identify more as a state or more as a commonwealth? Or can you be both?
You can be both.
Are they a multi-hyphenate?
They are. Yes.
Are they an actor, writer, dancer, commonwealth? Is that
and director. You and forgot director. Yes, they are. So they are commonwealths because that's how they were, like the name under which they form themselves.
Excellent.
They are Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Virginia.
Shout out to Virginia.
Yep. Okay, so there's commonwealth. There's a territory, which is an organized division of a country that is not yet admitted to the full rights of a state, which is basically just like there's some land and they have some rights,
but not all.
But not all, because they're not a state. Yeah. And the degree to which they, like, the degree of rights or whatever that the people who live there enjoy depends on, like, which territory you're talking about. And,
that's
like,
insane.
What we've put them through in the past.
Right.
Like,
which
determine
is what we'll be focusing on a lot today, yeah. is, like, breaking down the different ones and who gets to do what.
Right. There's incorporated and unincorporated territory, which is a territory in the U.S. Constitution that is only partially applied. Most U.S. territories are unincorporated. The U.S. federal government makes the decision for a territory to be incorporated or unincorporated. So they literally have no fucking say.
They're, yeah, I know. And the U.S. is just like, honestly, they're none of them are like, honestly, let's just keep them all unincorporated. I don't even know why this is a term, because they're all, I think all of them are unincorporated, like the main ones, which is incredible. Marshall but I like Island's just like Colorado. Half of the Constitution is going to apply to you. Right. Like just half, just the top.
And we're going to be kind of vague about like which parts.
Yeah. And we're going to take a really long time to decide on anything.
And also you have no like basic voice in the process.
Yes. Congratulations. Welcome to the United States.
It is the most United States-y thing they could have done.
Please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle as we fuck you over.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. So what's the next term?
The next term is an organized, unorganized territory, which to be an organized territory, Congress must pass an organic act.
Look, like
my fucking milk. Are you kidding me?
What is happening? They have to go to Trader Joe's and they have to be like, am I going to get the organic kale or the not organic kale? Mm.
And yeah.
I don't know why they come up with like the name organic does not make any sense.
That is
like how they're applying it to the situation.
That is so stupid. But the Organic Act, I literally can't say that without laughing.
I know.
Gives the territory jurisdiction to govern its own affairs.
Thank you.
Great. Like maybe
thank you so much. Thank you for letting me govern me. Being a part of you.
Right. Puerto Rico has the right to govern its own body.
It does. I love that. And you know who doesn't have the right to govern its own body? Me, a woman.
Me, a woman.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Let's pass an organic act for our bodies.
Maybe they mean organic. I'm just going to throw them.
Oh my God. Please try to tell us what they mean by organic.
This is what I think. I feel like the organic part of it is coming from the organic nature of a government that is coming from their own wishes and demands.
You are pulling this out of your asshole. They literally were like, what's a word? What's a word that we haven't used before yet? Organic. That's what happened. They flipped open the one dictionary they had and then just like blindly put a finger to it. And it's like, oh, we landed on the word organic. Right. Excellent. Write it down.
So those are the terms. Organic Act is an act of the United States Congress that establishes a territory of the United States and specifies how it is to be governed, or if there's an agency that's supposed to manage, you know, certain federal lands.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times what's happened with the territories is that like we've acquired them through some kind of means, but mainly we want to use them as like a place for our airplanes.
Yeah.
Expand our the parts of the ocean that we are allowed to use.
Right.
So, yeah, mainly it's like the federal lands part is like, no, this is our war place.
This is where we build military bases and hang out.
Yeah.
I love.
Right?
I mean, wow. So like, what does it mean to be a U.S. territory? I will literally tell you.
Oh my God, tell.
It means so many different things. It is a partially self-governing piece of land under the authority of the U.S. government. So it's like, it's half like making its own decisions. It's like a teenager.
Right.
It's like a teenager who's just gotten its driver's license where it's like, yes, I can drive to places and like, there's a little bit of trust between my parents and I. And like, if I'm going to like actually go to the places I'm telling them I'm going in my car.
Right.
But also like, I still live at home. Like I still have to be home at a certain time.
Right.
So I have my own autonomy, but I also live with my parents. So that's what it means to be a U.S. territory.
You're so good at
the
analogies.
Thank you so much.
That was great.
The U.S. territories are not states, but they do have representation in Congress. And we will get into this right here, right now, because it's actually so messed up.
It's so messed up.
So each territory is allowed to send a delegate to the House of Reps. So they have representation in there. However, they're not allowed a vote in the House of Reps.
Right.
Not like that. They can be there.
So great.
But they cannot like they can introduce legislation, but right. they cannot vote.
So it's like,
it makes no sense to me.
You can be a teenager at the Thanksgiving Day table mm-hmm. with the wine, but yes. you cannot partake of the drink.
You can't drink the wine. You can pour the wine right. for other people,
right.
but you cannot drink the wine.
Because I think they can serve on committees, right? So they can yes. be like, we're having input.
We have opinions.
I am
yes,
pouring
yes, yes.
wine. Yes, let me open another bottle.
But at the end of the day, but they it cannot literally doesn't matter.
Right.
All of the territories except for American Samoa are considered organized, and we'll get into that more. But the American Samoans, unlike the rest of the main territories, are considered U.S. nationals and not U.S. citizens because they're unorganized, like me. I feel like if we had to determine citizenship based on if you're organized or unorganized, we would have so many less citizens in this country. But yeah, which is also super fucked up. And we can like totally get into that later. But I just had to point it out here that what's the difference between a national and a citizen? We've talked about.
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Other things about territories, because they're partially part of the United States.
Hands have gone to her face.
No, but this is, I can't even say this out loud. Because they're partially part of the United States, they can vote in primary elections for the president. The mm-hmm. citizens can vote in the primary elections for the president, but they cannot vote in the general elections for president. So as far as representation in Congress, they have 5 delegates and 1 resident commissioner to serve as the non-voting member of the House, although they can vote in committees. Mm-hmm. And they have no representation in the Senate.
None.
None. They're not even like, they don't even like sometimes come in.
No.
They're not like they're not even a step parent.
No.
You know?
They don't get to like watch from the gallery.
No,
no, there's
they
no
literally
observation.
Have no,
deck.
There's nobody there.
They have no voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's like what they're allowed to do within us.
Right. So there have been. Are you shocked? Supreme Court cases that have talked about this. I mean,
we haven't talked about the Supreme Court in at least 2 episodes, and I'm not ready to go back. What have they been up to?
They have been up to some things. So there are like sets of court cases that talk about how we're supposed to deal with the territories.
Great.
They're called the insular cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bad name.
Bad name. Not really sure what that means, insular cases. But they, depending on like how, like which, you know, writer you go by, there's anywhere from like 3 to 6 or something like that. So we're going to talk about the kind of most important ones. It started we started kind of acquiring these territories that are like in the, you know, the big water, as Trump would say, the big
yes,
ocean,
the big ones, yes,
as opposed to like in territories that were like inside our continental U.S.
and right, that were near
that were like right. And we're going to talk about like the different ways that like why we used to have territories that are now states and the states that we know them as they are now, and why the territories that are like that we think of as territories today, which is like Puerto Rico and the Northern Mariana Islands and
American Samoa.
Yeah.
Virgin Islands,
that why we treat them a little bit differently and not a little bit. We treat them very differently than the territories that are used to the states that we have that used to be territories. And a lot of it has to do with like the timing of when these things happen. So it all happened right after the Spanish-American War as it pertains to like the island territories. And they didn't really know what to do with these, with the people in the new territories because they had like acquired them
right
through war. And so it wasn't like westward expansion and we were like just en masse, like moving west across. I mean, right. like we fought wars on that land on the continental U.S., but it wasn't like this huge like manifest destiny experience of like moving westward. This was like we won them in a war. What do we do with these people? Because should they have full citizenship or not? Right.
I love the hard hitting questions.
Right.
Are people people?
Are people people?
You tell me. Are people people? John and Samuel.
I hate us turn of the century.
Yeah, we're the actual
worst. So the question was, should they have full citizenship or not? The other kind of countries around the world were also like kind of like starting to acquire islands that were near them because as technology got better and we got better at fighting wars, as opposed to just being like, everybody line up.
Let's and just
take
on
your
a
musket.
Shoot.
Whoever is left standing at the end.
Just literally slaughter.
Right.
All right. We're out of the gunpowder. Get the swords. Get the swords. Does anybody have any cannons left? So they got better at fighting wars.
Yeah, as technology advanced, basically countries around the world were like, we have navies now that are not just like...
We can go to sea.
We can go to sea.
We can take this show on the road. Let's hit the water.
Let's hit the water. And it was more... And so because everybody went, you know, took to the sea, you needed to have... They didn't quite have the technology to be like... Okay, here is our mainland, and there is our opponent's mainland, and we would like to have middle land,
right?
As like a touch point, right? Like we need to refuel or something, or like
whatever they do with the ships.
We need a bathroom, a pit stop.
We do need a bathroom. They don't have bathrooms on ships.
I think. Well, you know, I think they do. They do on the Intrepid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which they certainly had in the turn of the century.
Wasn't that plane?
1862, the Intrepid.
But they like they needed also like bases so that they could, instead of like departing planes from the mainland and overseas, like they wanted islands in the water so that they could launch from there.
Right. Because it's a shorter distance and blah, blah, blah. Like this was like they're just starting to fly like airplanes in war. And these airplanes like maybe work 6% of the time. So they're like the chances of you making it to, you know, wherever you're trying to fight from the United States proper is actually 0%. Let's shoot you off.
Right.
Like at least 60 miles closer than, you know.
Right.
So the chances that you survive are now at a 6%.
Right. And also I think there's something to be said for like not for the US not wanting to have those launching like capabilities from their homeland, like from their homeland territory of like let's launch these planes out of New York. Like that sounds kind of crazy, right? Like let's launch them. It's wild.
Yeah.
So because of the way that we treated the territories, the island territories, and the fact that we treated them differently from our territories that then became states, the Supreme Court decided that they were going to make some decisions about like how we should handle.
They're like, okay, we got to crack down on this. We've got to make some decisions on this.
We've got to say something about this.
We literally got to step in.
People are having feelings.
What did they say?
So in DeLima versus Bidwell, the court struck down a duty on goods imported from Puerto Rico into New York after the Treaty of Paris. And the court held that after the ratification of the treaty with Spain, Puerto Rico became a territory of the United States, although not an organized territory in the technical sense of the word. Thus, it was not foreign. And that is from the Yale Law and Policy Review.
Because they're basically like, okay, we're officially saying that they are a territory with us. Right. However, they're not organized, but they're also not foreign.
Right.
And I'm like, that could not be more unclear as to what they are.
Right.
I feel like all we've established is that they're not foreign.
Right, right, right. They're like, it's us, it's ours now, but it's like a property we own.
Yeah. It's us, it's, but it's our not lake house. Us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like this is
the vacation home. This is Aspen.
Right. And so that was the first time that like a precedent was set about like what do we do with these island territories? Like how do they relate to us as a nation?
Right.
And then in Downs versus Bidwell in 1901, they basically said that the court case basically censored on a question of. Again, I'm quoting. Oh, no, this is Doug Mack from Slate. The Downs versus Bidwell case centered on a question of whether shipments from Puerto Rico to New York were interstate or international.
Love. It's like, you tell me.
You tell me, honey. What are we? And they established a new hierarchy of territories.
Oh, my God.
They were now either incorporated with the United States or unincorporated, with only the former, meaning
incorporated.
Having the full protections of the Constitution. The court reasoned that Puerto Rico and the other new territories were inhabited by alien races.
Love them.
So governing them according to Anglo-Saxon principles may for a time be impossible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the Anglo-Saxon principles and the alien principles, they're just not the same. You can't force aliens to be Anglo-Saxon the holy way. This is not surprising to me literally at all. But what I also love about this is basically the territories are fully always trying to be like, define our relationship.
Right.
What are we? Yeah. Are we in a relationship or are we just like kind of sleeping together sometimes?
Right.
What are we?
Are we friends with benefits? Are what we, is happening
are we
right now?
These? Yes or no? And the Supreme Court is like, okay, great. I'll answer your question by adding more terms to what we could be.
Right.
But I'm still not defining if we're in a relationship or not.
Right, right, right.
It's like we are, but like you're incorporated. And they're like, what does that mean? That's a new term. And right. They're like, you can have the Constitution, but you're not a state.
But you're not a state. And you can only have part of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Also, like the guy who said this, whose name I will not say aloud. I mean, he's like, he was a Supreme Court judge. I'm not saying it partly because I didn't write it down, but partly because he's also like a huge fucking racist. Because what he said about like governing alien races under Anglo-Saxon.
I mean,
like,
it's impossible. Right. They don't get how we do things, which is the correct way.
Right.
And the only way.
And the only way. And they do things the wrong way.
The wrong way.
Exactly.
With their culture and their traditions and their, you know, their love of the land.
Right.
We don't love the land.
No.
That love. Should be our new slogan. United States of America. We don't love the land.
We don't love the land. This was also the same court, are you surprised, that decided Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, which was the whole like separate but equal.
Love.
Like you can have separate schools as long as they're equal.
Right. Because they're all, I mean, you know, right. Again, yep. How can we possibly try to have, how can we possibly rule this country other than Anglo-Saxon
right.
principles? Like, how can we possibly?
It's possible.
It's impossible. It's an impossibility.
Literally. Right.
They were so brave back then.
I know.
To just, because really they
just
were like,
to
look,
say their racism
just to
outright.
Say, hey, guys, I'm racist.
I'm racist.
Yes, I like, love it.
Yeah. Not all of the justices were racist assholes. There was a Justice Harlan who dissented in this opinion.
Yes, they did. What did he say?
And he said, in my judgment.
Ah!
I know, right?
Yes.
In my judgment.
Go in.
If I mistake not. The Constitution does not sustain any such theory of our governmental system, whether a particular race will or will not assimilate with our people, and whether they can or cannot with safety to our institution be brought within the operation of the Constitution. So he's like, oh, is a matter to be thought of when it is proposed to acquire their territory by treaty. So like, he's basically saying like there's nothing in this Constitution.
There's literally nothing
work
in
of
this
art
Constitution
that says
about this. Yeah.
Anything about assimilation. So why are you assuming?
You know what they say
assimilate.
About people who assume? It makes an ass out of you and me.
That's right. Well, Judge Harlan was having justice. Sorry. Was having
none of
that.
Shout out to Justice Harlan.
Right.
Thank you for dissenting in this. Because it's actually true when you think about it. I mean, our founding is so incredibly based on systematic racism that it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true that when you look at the Constitution, it's just like the only, I mean, it does say, all men are created equal. So there is like the men part of it.
Right.
But it's actually not white. It's not like written down that like only white free men. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's
right,
just
right.
like everybody's assuming
right.
because we're the only people who are making these decisions
right, right, right.
that these are, you know, we're the only people who get the Constitution.
Right.
But they never put the pen to parchment because again, that's not what they did.
No.
So I love how Justice Harlan is just like, they didn't write it down.
Right.
Therefore, we cannot assume.
We cannot assume.
Because they did not put pen to parchment.
Right.
As is their custom. And thank God they didn't.
And then he goes on to say, a mistake in the acquisition of territory, although such acquisition seemed at the time to be necessary, cannot be made the ground, he's saying like cannot be the cause, for violating the Constitution or refusing to give full effect to its provisions.
Yes.
The Constitution is not to be obeyed or disobeyed as the circumstances of a particular crisis in our history may suggest the one or the other course to be pursued. Meaning, bitches, you cannot pick and choose.
You cannot pick and choose. You have to take the full Constitution mm-hmm. as it is, and you cannot be like, I think this is what it maybe means.
Right.
It's like, no, honey. Look at the pen to parchment.
Right.
It's not there.
It's not there.
You don't get to choose it.
No. Nope.
You can't be like, oh, these people won't understand the Constitution.
They just can't understand words.
I know.
They're not normal words to them.
I
How
know.
Can we expect
They're
them?
Anglo-Saxon words.
Yeah, so that was Justice Harlan. He was like,
shout out to Justice Harlan.
Stop it right now.
Literally an ally.
Yeah. So the third court case we're going to talk about is
Hughes. Yeah, Hughes.
H-U-U-S.
Hughes.
Hughes. Versus New York and Puerto Rico Steamship Company.
Bless.
And the court unanimously ruled that a vessel entering the port of New York from Puerto Rico did not have to pay pilotage fees because it was not engaged in foreign trade. Also, this is again from Yale Law and Policy Review. But basically, this court case was like, again, saying Puerto Rico is not foreign.
It's not foreign, but it's not domestic.
I don't know how many times we have to tell you.
Yeah.
It is not. We've like only established that they're not
foreign. They're not foreign. Look, if we can say anything about Puerto Rico, they're not foreign. What else are they? You tell me. I don't know.
In dire need of help
Couldn't
and money.
Couldn't say.
Right.
Could did not say.
Right. So those are the three. There are other court cases that we could talk about. Those are the three main ones that have basically been used as like pillars of like,
what is a territory?
And then everything else as it pertains to like, well, we can talk about how territories become states and why.
And why?
And why, like, Puerto Rico at all have not yet.
Yeah. So all current U.S. states have been admitted under Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution. Let's pull it out.
Oh, my God. Read it.
I'm going to read it. What this article / section says is, new states may be admitted by the Congress into this union, but no new states shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any other state be formed by the junction of the two of two or more states or parts of states without the consent and legislatures of the states concerned as well as of the Congress.
Your Australian accent.
I Listen, fucking committed hot. To that. Thank you so much for saying that.
Was
I needed
so
that.
Good.
What? That was the most confusing section of the Constitution we've ever read because it's like this to this, then this to this, but not this and this, and this and this. It's like,
and basically, it's all like, but really, it just matters what Congress says. Like, that's it's basically yeah, it's all
like
it's
they're
saying.
Like, I want to be a state, and Congress has to be like,
sure,
you're a state,
right.
That's how you become a state.
Right.
I mean, there's more requirements, but that's what's in the Constitution.
Right.
That's the very vague. Again, I love because this is again our founding fathers being like, there's nobody who's gonna want to join this. But we had to put something down. So let's just make it like, yeah, if they want to, then they can come to Congress and we'll say something about it, and that's it. Because they're like, nobody wants
nobody
this.
Wants
Nobody's
in.
Gonna nobody would want
what
in
is
on
this.
This
we're doing?
And now we have this really vague constitutional section where I don't even know how you become a state based right. on what we just read. What else made it super kind of clarified this constitutional
yeah.
moment was something called the Northwest Ordinance of 1787.
Oh,
we all know it.
Too.
It's
oh.
going to be racist. Look, guys, we know we were all there. 1787. Remember? Okay.
It's like 2 years after Shahamanana.
Yes.
Right?
Right. Of Massachusetts.
Right.
I know. I remember. I was there. But just not allowed to participate or speak or read. So the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, this is what it says. A three-stage method for admitting a new state to the union with a congressionally appointed governor, secretary, and three judges to rule in the first phase. So that's number one. An elected assembly and one non-voting delegate to Congress to be elected in the second phase when the population of the territory reached, and I quote, 5,000 free male inhabitants of full age.
Fuck you.
So in the second phase, in order for the second phase to happen, there have to be at least 5,000 free male inhabitants of full age. Imagine if there's just like 15,000 women that they're just like not acknowledging.
Right.
5,000 free male inhabitants. This is pen to parchment, 5,000 free male inhabitants of full age.
This was, they were serious about
also,
this.
Also, what's full age? They die at 20. Like,
yeah, I don't know what full age, I'm 16
maybe?
I have no idea. Like, can you hold a musket? Great.
Yeah,
12.
You tell me. If you can hold a sword, you're done.
You're
okay.
done.
So the second phase happens after 5,000 free male inhabitants of full age are in the state. And then finally, a state constitution to be drafted and membership to the union to be requested in the third phase when the population reached 60,000 free male inhabitants
right.
with a full age.
Yeah.
And then a bill of rights protecting religious freedom, the right to a writ of habeas corpus,
Got it.
The benefit of trial by jury, and other individual rights. In addition to the ordinance, encouraged education and forbade slavery. So this is a crock of just contradiction.
This is.
Where they're literally like, okay, great. In order to even be considered a state, you have to, we are only counting the men.
Right.
You cannot have slavery, which I'm blessed.
Right.
But it only the men count.
Right, right. So that's the Northwest Ordinance. So that's how, like, in the Northwest Territory, that's how they admitted states to the Union. These were, like, it was partly them trying to solve the, like, slavery question of, like, we'll admit these states
right.
to balance out the slave states. And now, like, the people in the North will be happy because the states will be in the northern part of the country and the people in the South can continue to own people. But now we've, like, put a, like, Hello Kitty Band-Aid on this situation.
On the situation that's going to come back and kill half, and of, kill our half population. Of our population.
Congress, obviously, is the organization. Congress has
is the organization. We all know it. They are organized.
They are organized. They have charge over admittance of other states to the Union. The Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. Which is basically just saying, like, the Constitution, Congress has, that's who has to deal with the territories.
Yes.
It's Congress.
They have to deal with it.
They have to deal with it.
They simply must.
Right.
They won't, but they must.
They won't, but they must. And because we used to admit states to the Union through something like the Northwest Ordinance.
Yeah.
Well, we don't do that anymore.
No.
And also that was like
admit nobody.
Yeah. That was like a particular piece of legislation that applied to particular land.
Yeah.
And we don't have that same type of thing for our current territories. And so basically, like, their only recourse is to be like, hi, Congress, like, we'd really like to be a state.
Yeah.
Help a girl out.
Oh, my God. They're literally like, hey, I want to be with you.
Right.
I want to be in this relationship and you just have to let me in.
Yeah.
You keep putting walls up. You keep putting walls up and not letting me in. And I just want you to know that I'm here. I'm committed to this relationship. Please be my boyfriend.
Yeah. Basically, that's it.
I've never given that speech before in my life.
It feels like so fresh.
Yeah, it feels so fresh, so real. I would never ask somebody to be my boyfriend.
Right. But this is why Puerto Rico has had multiple non-binding referendums on statehood. Because they're like...
That makes it more sad. Please. They're literally like, okay, I'll prove to you. I'll prove to you that I want to be a state. Look. Look at all the people who want to be your boyfriend. Like, please.
Yeah. Like, look at the Christmas gifts I bought you. Look, I am so thoughtful.
I'm trying. Puerto Rico's putting in the effort in a way that we don't deserve. We don't deserve Puerto Rico. They're literally just like, they're just showing up every time. They keep showing up for us and we're not showing up for them. We just keep being like, no, Puerto Rico, I'm not ready to commit to you because I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I've been hurt before.
Yeah.
I've been hurt before, so I'm not ready to commit. I just feel so bad for Puerto Rico. They deserve better. Go to Europe. Go find somebody in Europe.
I we've done, and not even just like with this recent stuff with the hurricane. It's just we've historically been so bad to Puerto Rico. Yeah.
And pretty much all the territories, but specifically Puerto Rico, who really have gotten their shit together.
Yeah.
And they've done everything that we've asked them to do. And we just won't. Do it. We won't commit to them because we're assholes.
Because we're like, well, we would have to add people.
We would have to do legislation. We'd have to change all the shitty things that we do in order to accommodate you.
Because,
but we took over you and we use you for military purposes and we use you for like everything else.
Yeah.
So
I listen.
Puerto Rico, call me. I'm on your side.
She is.
Literally on your side.
So they've had, like I said, multiple state referendums for statehood, which have passed.
Of course they have. They're committed. I don't even know if this is possible, but I want to release Puerto Rico so they can be their own country.
Oh.
You know?
Right.
I don't know if that's what they want, but I feel like they will thrive so much more.
Or just have no money.
I don't know. Right now, this is like not the time for them to like be their own country. Although we're not offering aid to Puerto Rico in a way that's like
real.
What we've done to Puerto Rico and the fact that they actually literally quite specifically belong to us and we have continually refused to offer them adequate aid for Hurricane Maria is like an absolute human rights violation. Like it's a complete abuse of our power and it's a complete abuse of our relationship with Puerto Rico.
Right.
So that's why I'm like looking at them and being like, I wish that there was a way to like send them on their way, because it just feels like we're not going to do it. We're not going to step up to the plate
because
and do what we're supposed to do and do what we should do, because Puerto Rico should be a state, because it's been like it's gotten its shit together in all of the guidelines.
Right.
And the only reason that we're like, no, let's not do it, is because it's too much work on our part to like revisit all of these archaic things that are centered around statehood.
Because it opens us up to the other, like, it's not just about each individual territory, it's about the whole picture. Because if you start talking about Puerto Rican statehood, it opens you up to, like, we have to change all of these other things. And then when you talk about the Electoral College, it's like, then it's like, well, we're changing it, we might as well just get rid of it.
Get rid of it, because it doesn't work. Right. It's absolutely idiotic. Absolutely
archaic. So that's kind of like where Puerto Rico is. As we, like I said, we did have we have states that used to be territories.
We do.
And yeah. And they were like, any of that weren't the original 13 were at one point like territories. Hawaii was U.S. territory. They were a U.S. territory since 1898, the same time that like Puerto Rico was a territory.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that it's interesting.
They just literally like, it's so sad. Like, Puerto Rico was first runner up.
Right.
In the U.S. beauty pageant. And then we hit 50,
right,
which is a very solid round number.
Right.
What are we going to be, 51 states?
That is anathema.
Absolutely not.
Marie Kondo would not approve.
We'd have to start another line of the stars,
right,
and it would just be one.
Right.
Which looks silly.
It's ugly. I don't like that.
Yeah. So therefore, let's just like screw over an entire population of people.
Right. So they became, Hawaii became the 50th state in the union in August of 1959. Following a referendum in Hawaii, which more than 93% of the voters approved the proposition for the territory to be admitted as a state. This is also where I think, like, Hawaii was probably so valuable in, like, a post. First of all, they have been bombed at this point, right? Like, Pearl Harbor has happened 18 years ago. And I think it was, like, it's so... I think it's literally so far out in the ocean that the people in Congress were like, you know what? We need like a beacon of light out there.
Yeah.
We need a point touch.
Well,
base.
Yeah, I think it just became so
between like us and like the Iron Curtain that is going to come up. You know, like all of that.
Well, and it just, I mean, it became a state in 1959 following the Second World War, where it had proven now through two world wars how integral like having like a full ass military base in Hawaii is.
Yep.
Because it was a huge. Like,
Pearl
Harbor was an enormous base, but, like, the amount that they used Hawaii during the World War, it was integral.
Right.
So they're probably like, yeah, let's fucking get this sucker in.
Yep.
And it's literally just about the placement of it.
Yep.
Because, you know, it was easy to get from there to, like you said, the Iron Curtain that's popping up on the other side of the world, whereas, like, Puerto Rico, its placement is not as useful.
Right. Because it's basically, like, just us on that side. I mean, there's, like, Europe and stuff, but not, like...
Not the actual people that we're fighting.
Right.
You know, because we thought that like Germany and Japanese and the Soviet Union were going to be our enemies until the end of time.
Right.
So let's put something in between us and them. And that's Hawaii, not Puerto Rico.
Right. So Alaska then also became a state right around the time in 1958. They followed a similar process and they passed the Alaska Statehood Act.
Cute.
In 1958. Fun fact about my own home state.
Tell me.
Ohio was retroactively added as a state in 1953 because it was never admitted to the Union during the early 1800s.
They literally forgot. Put this down as a to-do list, and the to-do list got lost. And then, like, 70 years later, they're like, oh, shit! Ohio!
It's like, I don't feel bad having to like all of the emails that I've like air quote forgotten to send.
Yes.
They're
imagine
just, like, way down on my to-do list. And I'm like, yeah, at least I never forgot to admit a state to the union.
Like, I love that so much.
Right.
Shout out to Ohio for just hanging in there.
Like 1950 fucking three.
That's
like, there are Ohioans that went to war and died and their state wasn't even a part of the union.
Oh,
I know.
It's so sad.
I just went real dark, but like,
no, but it's true.
So sad.
They not only went through like 19 wars,
right?
Because if they were supposed to become a state in the early 1800s in that sort of pocket of area,
yeah,
then that means that they went through the Civil War.
Yeah.
That means that they went through like the Spanish-American War.
Yeah.
That means they went through the War of 1812.
Yeah.
They went through World War One. Yeah. They went through World War II, and we're just like about to start the Cold War, and they're like, no more.
No more.
We're not doing one more war until you let us in.
I will not be used.
I draw it. She did. The silliest thing.
She did.
I drew the line. Good for Ohio for sticking up for yourself and being like, absolutely not.
I forget the name of the congressperson who was like, point of order.
Literally, may I bring to the table?
The fact that my state is not a state just goes to show you that if you really wanted to make the territory states, it could happen. If you can retroactively like make a state a state.
Oh, it could totally happen. There's a process.
There's a process. There are things we can do. Part of the reason it was overlooked was because that there was no process for admitting new states at the time. And it was like this little like kind of blip.
It was like every time something popped up, we were like, oh, shit. Yeah, let's do it this way. And we'll call it the Alaskan Act. Okay. Done. Boom, bang, boom. Oh, the Hawaii one? Oh, shit. Okay, let's do it this way, and we'll call it the Hawaii Act. Hoppity-bop. Boopity-boop-beep.
Boop-boop-beep-boop.
Yep, just add them in.
So, Puerto Rico, that's all to say. That was a little bit of a roundabout way to say Puerto Rico is trying super hard.
Trying very hard, and we don't deserve them.
And we don't deserve them. Our two most recent additions as states, like, did the same exact thing that Puerto Rico has done, and we are giving Puerto Rico no chance in hell of becoming a state anytime soon. And poor little bastard Ohio is just like was hanging out there for 150 years.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about Puerto Rico because they're very they're relevant. They're prevalent right now and what's going on. They're a hot topic. But there are four other main territories where like people live and they work and they organize and they have representation in Congress that they can't vote on.
Right.
And so those are, the first one is American Samoa. Uh-huh. They're a little unique because they're unincorporated, which I think all of these are. Yeah, they're all unincorporated. So American Samoa is unincorporated, but they're also considered unorganized. And they're the only one of the main five that are considered unorganized. Because literally the only reason being is that the U.S. has not passed the Organic Act for this.
For this one territory?
Yep. That is
they were like, the Organic Act applies to
they have to do it for each.
Oh, they have to do it for each.
For each one, yeah. They have to pass an Organic Act for this thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So they literally just have not done that. So American Samoas they're the ones who are considered U.S. nationals as opposed to U.S. citizens because they're unorganized. But there's 55,000 American Samoans living in American Samoa. It is absolutely crazy.
Our name is literally in their name.
American Samoa. It is a slap in the face. The American Samoas are not American. We obtained American Samoa from Germany in 1899. We all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in our possession ever since. So they've been in our possession for over 100 years.
Right.
And we have not organized them.
Can we just pass the act? Like, literally, this is the one thing that I don't understand. Like, I think it's stupid that we haven't given Puerto Rico like a full voice at like any of these territories that have been around for a while.
Yeah.
Like, because it's stupid for reasons that we haven't, like, we should be revisiting things anyway.
Right.
But this is so simple.
It's very simple.
This is like, bring this up in Congress. Literally nothing else changes except like, it's going to be annoying to like retype all of the IRS sheets. And like anytime there's some kind of federal form and you have to check if you're American Samoan, like,
right.
It would just be like, are you a U.S. citizen?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, they literally have to be like, no, I'm American Samoan. They're like, cool. It's the same thing. Come on in. You know
what? Right. It like literally doesn't matter. Wow.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
That's so stupid.
Shout out to American Samoa. Stay in the game.
Yep.
Or don't, like, get out. Like, I just feel like all the territories, we don't deserve you. You know, like, I get that we, like, you probably depend on us for a lot of stuff. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I literally want you to break up with us because we literally suck.
Right. I also love that this was a German territory.
Like, yes.
That is, like, a laughable concept.
Yes. Right, you know, the Germans, the seaworthy Germans, they're just conquering all the islands. Yeah. We got it from Germany.
Wow. And then there's Guam.
Love her. Heard of her.
She is unincorporated yet organized.
Mm-hmm.
Obtained by the U.S. in the Treaty of Paris that ended the Spanish-American War of 1898. She is home to a large network of U.S. military bases.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a governmental structure that matches that of Puerto Rico.
They have a unicameral legislation. That was what I found very exciting.
I like that.
Because you don't see unicameral a whole bunch.
No.
Everybody loves a bicameral.
Mm-hmm.
But Guam has a unicameral. But yeah, that literally, I was researching Guam and it was like, we use you for military operations.
Yeah.
So blatantly. That's why we have Guam. They're like, just so we can put the military there.
Yep.
That's it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Shout out to Guam. The next one is the Northern Mariana Islands. They are unincorporated and organized. They were obtained after the Second World War in the Trust Treaty of the Pacific Island Agreement with the UN, which was basically just a thing where the UN was like, okay, we've all had a really big fight.
Right.
And some of these countries, Germany, Japan, maybe the Soviet Union, like have got islands and now they don't get them anymore because they lost the war and tried to kill half of the population. So the UN was basically like, okay, who's getting what?
Right.
Who's getting what? So we got the Northern Mariana Islands out of that.
Yep.
And it's a self-governing commonwealth where the U.S. president is the head of state, the governor is the head of the government, and it has a bicameral legislature.
The U.S. president is head of state.
Head of state of the commonwealth.
That's so interesting.
It's head of state of the commonwealth. Okay. The U.S. president is the head of state, but they cannot vote for the president in the general election.
That's so
it doesn't make any sense.
That's so fucked
doesn't make any
up.
Sense. Northern Mariana Islands, call me. Break up with us.
Puerto Rico, which we've talked about, they are the fourth one. They are unincorporated and organized. Like we said, they've been around since 1898 after the Spanish-American War. They are a commonwealth. They have their own constitution and their own governor.
They can do it all. I'm like, you guys have everything. Go.
Yeah. I think the only reason that they stay, I mean, they don't, I don't know how much of an economy they have.
Oh, probably. No, it's totally to do with money. I completely understand. I just like, I want them to have a better life.
Right.
Than what we're giving them.
They only pay federal income tax on work done within the United States. They pay into Social Security and have access to Medicare and Medicaid, but not some of the other government programs.
Great.
They do not have a vote in the U.S. Congress like we've talked about. And honestly, their person is called, it's not even a delegate. Like, everybody else is called a delegate to the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs is like a resident commissioner.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what does that mean?
A
resident commissioner, you know.
Anything different?
No. It's just a different name.
Okay, great. They are natural born U.S. citizens and there are a million more Puerto Ricans who live in the mainland United States than live in Puerto Rico. So they've left Puerto Rico and now they live like in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Love Puerto Rico. The last one is the U.S. Virgin Islands. They are also unincorporated and organized. So they were purchased.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. They were purchased in 1917 for $25 million in the Treaty of the Danish West Indies. So basically we got with Denmark and we were like, let's make a treaty. And part of that was like, if we give you $25, will you give us the U.S. Virgin Islands? And they said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
The president who purchased this was none other than enemy of the show, Woodrow Wilson. So once again, while he was not preventing the Second World War, he was out there buying islands. Fucking love him. Love him. Love to hate him. Shout out to Woodrow Wilson.
Oh,
you wet blanket.
My God.
This was okay, this is also, it's absolutely hysterical. So this whole exchange was ratified in like money's exchange. This is official. 5 days before we declare war on Germany for World War I. What was Woodrow doing that week?
I don't understand why he wanted the U.S. Virgin Islands.
I don't know. Probably for military. I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I can't get inside Woodrow's head.
No.
I can't get inside there.
I think it's dark in there. I don't know what
he was
doing.
He was literally like, I don't know what to do. I'm scared and I've cried all day. I'm writing in my journal. And then somebody's like, maybe we should buy an island. And he's like, yeah.
Great
let's
idea.
Do it. You know? I mean, it's like, not a fan of Woodrow Wilson.
That is crazy.
And
I love that the other ones, this is the only one that we bought.
We did buy.
The other ones were like, we won them.
Also, it's like Woodrow, be a better businessman. We need $25 million. Look at all your predecessors who have obtained
right
through treaties. Be better, Woodrow. Be better. Do better.
Listen, if Melania can, I think he should have. Be best.
Anyways, so Woodrow Wilson oversaw all of this and was part of why we have the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Right.
This is the other thing that I can't get over. Okay, so we're 5 days away from declaring war from Germany, right? Which means we know that Germany's up to some shady shit.
Right.
Which means that they're over there, they're shooting people, and they're being all weird. We know that. We're aware of that. Because it's not like this was an impulse decision, right?
No.
We have, like, thought about this, hopefully.
Right.
So this means that we know that we're probably about to enter a war with Germany.
Right.
And we're like, let's blow $25 million on the U.S. Virgin Islands right before we start a world war.
Do you know what this sounds like?
What? Bad money?
Bad decision.
Bad with money?
But also
an impulse buy?
The guy, the fire festival dude.
Oh my God. Woodrow Wilson is the Ja Rule of 1917. You said it. Ja Rule also would not have prevented the Second World War. There is no way. Oh, he would have been like, I too was bamboozled. Which is direct quote what Woodrow Wilson said when Hitler was like, actually, I'm a Nazi. Woodrow was like, no one saw this coming.
There are outlying island territories, which are all unincorporated and unorganized. But they are Baker Island, Howland Island, Jarvis Island, Johnston Island, Kingman Reef, Navassa Island, Palmyra Atoll, and Wake Island.
Yes. These are just little, like, this is, again, I'm like, these are just like
little babies.
These are just baby, like, pieces of land that we're like, maybe we'll do something with it later.
Right. Amazing. And then there's the Marshall Islands.
And then last but certainly not least, the Marshall Islands, which has had a very interesting trajectory because they were a U.S. territory acquired by Japan after the Second World War. So, like, if you lose the Second World War, we were like, Japan, you do not get islands.
No.
The Marshall Islands, we took them from Japan after the Second World War, and we had control of them until the 1980s. But then at that point, the Marshall Islands, see, this is what I hope Puerto Rico does.
Right.
The Marshall Islands and the U.S. negotiated what's called the Compact of Free Association.
I love her.
Which, she's cute. It basically means that the Marshall Islands live their lives independently, but the U.S. is responsible for their defense as the island. So it's this, like, negotiated terms of, like, we are a country.
Right.
We live our own life. We have our own culture. We have our own flags. We have our own government.
Sure.
And our head of government that is not the United States. We don't have representation in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But the United States, it's like a treaty of, like, if you get attacked, we will come to your defense and protect you. And because of that, the U.S. was allowed to conduct, you guessed it, military operations.
Sure.
On the Marshall Islands. There were a very valuable military base because of their placement in the Pacific.
This has been extremely eye-opening. And I just would like to thank Andrew.
Yeah. Shout out to Andrew for calling me about this. I hope this has been eye-opening for you as well. I hope we've offered some clarity on the territories and the BS that surrounds them.
I mean, I feel like my brain has been clarified on this. And I am so grateful.
Yeah.
For my own research, but also for, like, for Andrew, who was like, I need
to know this. Because, I mean, yeah, we don't think about, I mean, we've heard a lot about Puerto Rico recently, obviously.
Right.
I feel like I have never in my education even touched upon the U.S. territories in a real way.
No.
You know, we talked about how, like, the states became states.
Right.
Sure.
Sure.
And, like, you know, the Great Compromise or, you know, all these big things.
Right.
But we've certainly never touched on, like, Puerto Rico.
Right.
Or the Virgin Islands, or certainly not American Samoa or Guam.
But listen, I guarantee you most people don't even know we have territories.
Yeah. So, guys, shout out to territories because we do have them. Yep. And we are, I would say, mistreating them.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next.
We do love you. And we love the territories. And we hope that they will grow and thrive and succeed. And I will call Puerto Rico right now.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
I think Lynn probably has their phone number.
Lynn, Manuel, and I will get Puerto Rico off the ground for sure.
Great.
For sure.
Great. He would love that.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
guys, thank you so much for listening. Let me tell you, if you liked what you heard today, then you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. We're on iTunes Podcast. We're on Spotify. Please like us, rate us, review us. We want to hear your feedback. And if you'd like to call me, you can call us at 347-509-9414. Please call me. Tell me what's going on, because I don't know. We love you so much, and we can't wait to have you back for next week's episode.